I am a little nervous. And the thing is, I come from a background of, a lot of you know me from reality TV. I was on a funny little show called Temptation Island. We have now, oh my goodness, we filmed that in 2018, in the fall of 2018. So this year will be actually 7 years ago that we filmed that show, which is completely mind-boggling to me. But then again, 2020 kind of messed everyone up. Like, how was 2020 5 years ago? It's 2025. I feel like we're all kind of stuck in 2020 or 2019, like on some psychological level. Raise your hand, leave a comment if you're with me, because I know 90% of y'all are with me. If you're not with me, where have you been? I don't know. So, yeah, back to my point. A lot of you actually know me from that silly little reality TV show called Temptation Island that, if I'm going to be totally frank and honest, the person that I am today would, I don't think, ever go on a show like that. So it's kind of funny. And at the same time, throwing yourself into reality TV without any background or understanding of reality TV was quite an experience. I had never watched reality television before in my life, not even like The Bachelor. I literally went into that experience like not only having no idea what to expect, but also like so adorably naive about the whole situation, just being like, oh my God, they're gonna send us on dates and they're professionals, like looking all over the country and handpicking people that are perfect for each other, and maybe I'll have a real chance at finding like my person. So needless to say, being on reality TV was quite the adventure and experience. And I'm sure at some point I will go more into that and discuss that more in depth. I do just want to be here now with you and be totally honest about what my experience has been like in the last year and why I filmed one episode of this podcast and then stopped. I have an amazing editor that was on board and helping me, and people that were ready to come on and talk about life and their experiences and their modalities. What I've been through the past year since the beginning of that journey and the spark of the idea to start this podcast has really brought me to this point of like just completely letting go of perfection. And I think that we do live in a world now that's being so taken over by false truths. And with AI and social media and people online just showing these ideas of what their lives are like that are just not authentic, and giving viewers a false sense of like, wow, look at all these other people like living their best lives, and I'm over here going through trials and tribulations and like many hells that I couldn't have even anticipated, or I'm over here and I'm experiencing this breakup or this grief or this hardship or this financial instability or whatever it is that you're going through. Like, I feel like the world that we're in right now of false truths is making people and the viewers feel like they're alone. And I don't want to hop on here and try to be perfect with you guys. My life has been anything other than perfect, and I want to bring some truth to the world. So And some of you know, and some of you don't know, that I have been experiencing seizures since about 2012. And they were very few and far between. I'm sure a lot of you view me as an incredibly healthy person because I am. Like, I have been so dedicated and committed to my health for so many years. And when I was a lot younger, let's see, 2012, that was, I was about 20. And yeah, I've dealt with a lot of mysterious health issues for many, many years. I would say it was definitely my 20s were very difficult because of that reason. And the seizures really forced me to become healthier and healthier because modern Western medicine doctors never could tell me what was going on. They just slap a diagnosis on me, you know, and say, oh, you have epilepsy. Here's some medication. I went down a path that I was going from doctor to doctor, and in every world you can imagine, from Western to integrative to functional to shamans in Mexico, until I finally found my doctor in Tulum, Mexico, who at the time, like, I credit him to pretty much saving my life because I was so depressed by the time I had found him. I was having seizures. No one could tell me why I was. And that's a really sad place to be. Gosh, I could go on so many tangents as I'm sitting here sharing my story with you guys. Just, and you know, I think we'll save them each for another time. But again, coming back to the idea of perfectionism is like part of the voice, one of the voices in my head that's been like, oh, you can't do a podcast because you're so unorganized. And I do have a little bit of an ADD brain, and that's okay. I mean, hopefully you enjoy sitting here chatting with me. And if you don't, like, there's a million other things that you can go listen to on the internet. So that's totally fine. But you're all invited to my corner, and I welcome you with so much love. Going back, my doctor, Dr. Qua, in Tulum, Mexico, at the time, I really credit him to basically saving my life because I was in such a dark place at the time. And we'll never know exactly what worked because we tried everything from ozone therapy to neural therapy to diet changes to stopping bleaching my hair blonde and not putting bleach on my head to light therapy. And like, I don't even remember. We did intravenous, we did heavy metal chelation, and we just did it all. And he was one of my biggest cheerleaders. And he passed away in 2017, unfortunately, which I love that man so much. But I went about 6.5 years without having any seizures. I was totally like, that wasn't an issue for me when I went and filmed the show. Although I was always very like mindful that my threshold was lower than like the average person. Because if you have a seizure, anytime you have a seizure, there's something called a seizure threshold, and that every time you have a seizure, that lowers. So I remember like when I did do the TV show, I was like so specific about getting sleep. I don't know if you remember, I don't know what episode it was. Was it episode one when I was supposed to go on that date with Evan? And there was all that drama the night before. And I'm just like, I don't even know what's happening right now. I just want to go to sleep. Like, we're supposed to wake up in 5 or 6 hours. And I don't even know if I can wake up in 5 or 6 hours. So the little story behind that is like, sleep is just so important to me because it's part of why I take or how I take care of myself. But okay, so where were we? I hadn't had a seizure in about 6.5 years. I was pretty much, it was something that was always in the back of my mind, but I could kind of like chop it up to something in the past, sort of. And wow, how much do I want to share at this point with you guys? I think I'll cliff note it for you. So 2020, man, like, literally everyone I know, 2020 was such a difficult, life-changing year. But the crazy part is, it wasn't necessarily because of the pandemic or the virus. Like, the people that I know, myself included, like, really went through some serious personal challenges, traumas, trials, and tribulations in that year. And so for me, I mean, on top of what we were all dealing with as a collective, I moved out of my home in Venice Beach that I was in for years and was completely in love with, ended that chapter. I was in a totally toxic relationship that I just look back on. I'm like, quarter life crisis, whatever you want to call that. That was that. I went to Maine in September 2020. And while I was there, my dog, Chuska, who was my best friend, like, I've had dogs before. Some of you have had dogs before. And then there's always that one, cover your ears, Peanut. There's always that one that is just like your ride or die. And going back, talking about my doctor in Mexico, Dr. Hua, and crediting him to like bringing my spirit back to life, the other being that totally brought my spirit back to life was Chuska, my dog. Because when I had pretty much given up, like when I met Dr. Hua, I looked like a ghost, acted like a ghost, sounded like a ghost, showed up in his office, barely had a word to say because I was like, this is my last try at trying to get healthy. I don't even believe you that you can help me because every other doctor I've been to hasn't been able to. And at the same time, I shortly after was in Coba, which is near the Mayan pyramids outside of Tulum, and found this puppy who was on death's door. Oh, she was about 6 or 7 pounds. I'll never forget the image, like, get the image out of my mind from when I first saw her. And she was laying in the ground in dust and covered in bugs, and she was dying. And I picked her up and she was just skin and bones. And long story short, I brought her to a vet. First vet was like, what are you doing trying to save this dog? She's going to die. It's useless. Brought her to the second veterinarian clinic and they gave her some fluids, and long story short, we did wind up saving her life. It took about 3 weeks for her to start walking on her own, but within 3 months, she was from 7 pounds to 45 pounds. And getting to see her go from like death's door to living every single day the way that she did. Like, guys, there's a stigma against rescue dogs, that you don't want to get a rescue dog or they're dangerous or something. Let me tell you something about rescue dogs. They are grateful every single day. They wake up and they know how good life is. So that was what every day was like with Chuska. And her and Dr. Kwa brought me back to life, because as I was getting healthier with the support and the treatments with Dr. Hua, I'm getting to be right next to this dog as she's getting healthier, and seeing her go from not being able to walk herself and tripping over shrubs and having no pink in her skin because of how severely anemic she is, to like running the trails and running the beach and running in the water and playing with coconuts and jumping over seaweed and playing with other dogs. Like, it was the coolest thing in the world. So I'm like, if she can do it, if she can come from death's door and have this zest for life, let's go, baby, I can do it. So that was a tangent we definitely went on together. And I'm just so glad to share with you guys like how beautiful and special Chuska was in my life. So back to 2020. Which was a really hard year for so many of us. I had moved out of my place. I was in a very dysfunctional relationship as I look back now. And I went out of town in September 2020. And on October 10th, 2020, my dog passed away. She was unexpectedly hit by a car. And it caused the heaviest grief in me. For the first time in my life, I was so scared of being alone. I mean, I am like Miss Independent, like introvert, love being alone. After this happened, I could not be alone. I was waking up like in the middle of the night, just crying and screaming, and stayed in this dysfunctional relationship longer than I should have, because I was so afraid of being alone to just internally deal with this grief. And after that, in November 20, fast forward, so there's a lot that happened in between that's kind of irrelevant. I'll spare you, but essentially, like, I was going through the grief process, and I'm sure a lot of you know what that's like. And if you don't, I'm so grateful that you don't. Fast forward to 2021, and I got COVID in November, I believe it was. And I had a seizure for the first time in 6.5 years, I think. As scary as that was, I kind of just chopped it up to like a one-time thing. It's like, okay, that happened once. I had COVID and moved on. I think the last few years have taken me down a road I couldn't possibly have imagined. And going from living in Venice in the Instagram era of influencers and the start of all of this stuff, the AI and the facades and the perfect lives and the perfect come and enjoy a day with me in my perfect life and all that stuff. I was on reality TV, which was beautiful and hard, and all that came kind of crashing down with the pandemic. And then I went through the hardest few years of my life, maybe one of those dark nights of the soul, which if you don't know what that is, look it up. Maybe you've had one. If you have, I love you so much. And I know that we come out the other side better and stronger and greater than we were and more developed and funnier, because, man, trauma makes you a funny person. Let me tell you, my therapist thinks I'm funny. My friends, my best friends think I'm funny. I think Peanut thinks I'm funny. So that's all that matters. The last few years have been insane. And they have forced me down a path of, again, searching for and finding true healing. Forced me. This past year, I mean, the whole point of what I was saying, like, I swear, like 15 minutes ago, I have no idea, I'm not timing this, was, why did I start the podcast and then not do it? Well, last February, I recorded the first episode, and then I started having more seizures than I've ever had in my life. To me, they were back-to-back seizures. To everyone, they wouldn't be considered that. There are some people, bless them, seriously, that have seizures every single day. Last February, I recorded the first episode, and in March, I had a really terrifying seizure. And then I had another one 3 weeks later, and then I had another one 3 weeks after that, which was scary, guys. Let me tell you, like, epilepsy is one of those diseases that is just so traumatizing because, I mean, look at me. I look perfectly healthy. I seem perfectly healthy. A lot of people with seizure disorders do. And we go from that state of being to like the body just completely betraying you and doing something insane and like embarrassing and dangerous. I have never seen what I look like when I have a seizure. I hope the day never comes, but it's embarrassing and that's part of it. And so having, you know, three back to back at that point had me to the point of like, I have this emergency medication, this stuff, this inhaler, which is awesome because it helps me, but it sucks because I get a migraine for 3 days after it. I remember after those three seizures, just sitting on the couch in the living room like this, just like clutching my medication, because as it's hard for me, I don't want to identify as an epileptic, and like, please, my loves that are epileptics or identify that way or have seizure disorders, please don't take that as an offense, because it comes from the place in me that's like, there's a reason for this happening. I don't accept the diagnosis, the slap of like, you just have epilepsy and that's it. But I will just say, for the sake of ease, like as someone with epilepsy, it's not just having a seizure every once in a while. The in-between of having a seizure is so uneasy. There's so much anxiety that comes with it, because if we feel even a little bit not okay, it's like, oh my, like, am I going to have a seizure? Am I going to leave my body at any moment? So I was obviously not feeling great during that time. So yeah, I paused the podcast because I was in a state of like being really scared and not knowing what the frick was wrong with me, why this was happening. And I remember one day, not long after that, I was laying on that same couch and I logged into Instagram and I saw my friend, not friends at the time, but I saw my friend Vince Pitstick, I hope I'm not butchering your last name, Vince, doing a live on his Instagram. He's the founder and owner of Vital Coaching, formerly known as Nutrition Dynamic, doing a live on his Instagram called Metabolic Mondays, I think is what it's called. And this man is brilliant. Like, go look at some of his lives. His reels are cool, but like, go look at his lives so you can really hear the wealth and wisdom that he has in his brain. I like don't know how anyone can be that smart, to be honest with you, but he's been through it too. He's been through some really heavy stuff with his life, very similar to my background with the mysterious health issues. I'm watching his metabolic live and I type in, I'm like, do you or your coaches have experience working with people with epilepsy? And he answers me on the live and he says, yeah. As he said, I'll take you on myself. Message me. Well, we're gonna get this. So of course I message him immediately. This is in between me going to neurologists and doctors, and all of them were just, they had nothing. Here's some more medication. Let's sedate you some more. Let's get you completely effed up so that you're drooling on yourself. But maybe you won't have seizures. Anyway, so I talked to Vince. We wind up scheduling a call that week. We wind up getting on Zoom together and chatting for like 2.5 hours, I think it was. And ever since that first chat, like every time I talk with Vince, the general consensus is like, Brittany, it's not a matter of if, it's when. And I trust this man with my life. That is huge coming from me. This is not an advertisement. This is not a shout out. This is me sharing my story with you guys pretty much in real time. I don't know. I want you to know what I've been going through, because I know you guys have been going through some seriously hard stuff too. And I keep wanting to say hard cuss word, and I don't know how this goes. I don't know if we're allowed to curse on Spotify or YouTube or wherever this is going to wind up, but you know, I think everyone's going through some hard shiitake mushrooms right now. And I think I said this at the beginning of today, like I'm on day two of a fast. Vince is my coach. I trust this man with my freaking life. Oh, am I allowed to say that? I believe in this path and this journey that I'm on. And I also believe that I truly believe, who else hates hearing this when you're in the thick of it? But I truly, truly believe everything happens for a reason. God help me when I was going through seizures, when I would wake up injured because my body, quote unquote, betrayed me. That's not what I wanted to think, believe, or hear, that this is happening for a reason. But where I'm at now, and I thank the Lord because I truly have been protected every time that this has happened to me. Yes, I've woken up injured. I've came to injured. Yes, I've come to terrified. And yes, I've dealt with migraines that lasted for 3 days and legs that felt like they had walked 2,000 miles in the Sahara Desert because my muscles were in so much pain from going through those episodes. But where I am now, after a really hard 2024, which unfortunately I know a lot of you can relate. A lot of people I spoke to, some people were like, you know what? This year was awesome. I grew. I accomplished this. But still, a lot of people, I'm seeing this theme of going through such trials and tribulations. 2024, I mean, leading more than just 2024, but reflecting on the last year and recognizing that it was one of the scariest, hardest years I've been through. I had seven seizures and all these other health issues. Oh my word, that's not even the tip of the iceberg. I'm just highlighting like the scariest part. Maybe not even the hardest, but the scariest. And where it's brought me, a lot of you know me from Temptation Island. A lot of you know me from the yoga world and community. I taught yoga for quite a few years. I led many wellness retreats and I practiced yoga, I would say, religiously for over 10 years before I started teaching. And here I am in 2024 and 2025. Finding myself with this deep, heartfelt call to come home to and discover and remember the truth of who Jesus Christ is and was. And I'm speechless because for any of you that know me, or have seen me online or on TV, it's like, what? Brittany? The yogi? Jesus Christ? Brittany's going to church? Brittany is surrounded by her Bible that she reads every day, these books on Jesus and Christianity and prayer. But what I've been through has literally brought me to my knees. I was raised on New Age spirituality. I was raised on you create your own reality. And there's no such thing as bad and good or good and evil. There's only contrast. And we're on this school called Planet Earth to learn and grow. I was raised learning about simultaneous lifetimes taking place and reincarnation and seeing people channel dead people and entities and yoga and Reiki and all sorts of things and plant medicine and all of the things. And I always thought religion is not even something I think about because it's programming people and it's controlling people, and it's scary, and it's dominating, and it's based on what? This guy that died on a cross for people's sins? Makes no sense. And gosh, what I see happening in the New Age communities are people going around and around and around in circles, searching. Searching for a meaning to life, searching for a purpose for their own life, searching for healing everywhere outside of themselves through different modalities. If you meditate enough, if you do enough yoga, if you do plant medicine enough times, then you will be enlightened. And what God tells you, what Jesus says, is just give me your heart and your home. You're already good enough. And you're never gonna be perfect because you're human. Because human nature causes us to be sinful creatures. And like, that's something else I want to get into with you guys, is what sin means and all these religious, I'm quoting my fingers right now, if you can only hear me and not see me, but these religious words that I was so like ick toward. I just was like, ugh, you're telling me people are sinners? You're telling me to obey God? What the frick does that mean? That sounds so crazy, but we are so human and our nature is sinful. And I'm going to get into that with you guys, but like all these people in the New Age community that are trying so hard to create their own reality and be their own gods and goddesses and messing with their psyches by taking all this plant medicine, and like, how tired are you, man? Because I know a lot of people from the New Age community that got real tired. And they came home and they found Jesus was there, waiting, ready the whole time, with so much love, just like, look, when you're ready to come home, I'm here, and I love you, and I've always loved you. And I'm not talking about religion, guys, like, really. I'm talking about the truth of who Jesus is and was. This is a human being that came down to earth, that was also God. He was human just like me and you. He experienced everything that you and I experienced. The pain, the suffering, the sadness, I was going to say doubt, but yeah, I think that Jesus experienced doubt. And you know where he went when he experienced that? He went home to God, who he calls, and a lot of people call, their father, and leaned with his entire heart and soul into faith. And when he felt scared or he felt doubt or grief, he turned to God and said, "Let me do your will. I'm feeling these human feelings and emotions, but I am here to do your will because I trust you and I love you and I believe in you. And I know that God knows the whole picture, the big picture, so much more than we can know as little, tiny, beautiful, awesome, imperfectly perfect human beings. There is a creator out there, if you want to call him Father or God, it doesn't matter. Our creator, our parent, where we come from, that knew us and loved us before we were born and knows the end, knows the whole picture, wrote our stories before we got here. And that's why people are so tired trying to hustle in this modern day world that we're in. It's so much responsibility to be the one that creates your own reality, to be your own God like that. Like, that's wild. When all we have to do is lean into God and into faith and trust with our hearts and take our suffering and turn it over and realize and remember we don't have to carry all of this. We're not meant to carry this. We're not meant to do this alone. We're not meant to make these choices on our own. We are meant to obey God. And I am so glad I just said that to you, because I want to talk to you guys about something right now. Like I said, I grew up, the language in religion, like I told you, it was such ick to me. I wrote some of the words down that I want to talk about because I think this is so important. I want to talk about some of these words, these religious words that gave me the ick my whole life. And I just was programmed to be like, oh, they are controlling. They are programming people to be afraid and to listen to man-made church, and it's serving man. It's not serving spirit or God or whatever. They're meant to control. But I just want to go over some of this with you, because the things I have learned recently as I have opened my heart to Jesus I feel like the wool has been removed from my eyes, as I'm like, oh my goodness, I have been reading it and feeling it in such a programmed way. So let's start with obey. The word obey. Obey God. Being obedient to God. Having obedience for God, right? Like, that's something that I always felt really, what is the word I'm trying to think of? I always just felt adverse to that. No, that doesn't align to me. But I've really sat with, what does it mean to obey God? And what does it mean to be obedient to our God? And I'm like, duh, it means to follow the call. It means, especially for us women, to listen to your intuition. It means that God is with us all the time, like literally by our side, whispering through our hearts, honey, this is the way to go. My sweet, beautiful angel child, let's go this way. And we're so busy in today's world, especially with all the social media and the electronics and technology, like we're so distracted in this fast-moving world that we are forgetting and have forgotten to listen to the call that's in our heart. The call of God, the message and the purpose that God has placed on our heart and on our lives that is right there when we're ready. So that has really changed the way that I interpret and I hear the word obey and be obedient to God. And what I've learned in my life and I see in other people's lives around me is that when we're not following that call and that intuition, a couple things can happen. We're going to keep repeating those same patterns again, those same experiences, until we learn the lesson. Until we learn to pivot and to listen and to follow that call. Or we're going to find ourselves in situations that are not like ideal for us, that are not meant for us, in relationships, in environments, in situations that are not for us. So it's learning to, above anyone else's advice, above our own like egoic desires to really tune in. Like, there's not that big of a difference between praying and meditating. There are differences, but like they both have that quietness, that coming home. And like, are you willing to listen? Like, close your eyes and listen instead of coming from that place of ego and dominating. Like, I can create my own reality. I can have anything I want. What do I want to create? No, it's what has God put me here for? What is my path? What is my next step? Because the truth is, I heard someone say the other day, something like along the lines of, when you lean into faith and when you do trust God, most of the time it is a mystery. You just got to keep leaning in. What is the next step for me? So that's where I'm at with the word obey. And my, oh my, how that differs from what I thought it was. Another word that I want to touch on, this is a really good one, because this is effed up, right? If you misunderstand it. I mean, my whole life I've been like, what in the world is wrong with these people? These religious people? These Christians? What is wrong? You mean they are taught and raised to fear God? They're saying God wants you to fear him? I mean, oh my goodness. I wish I had... Sorry, Peanut. I woke up my little mascot. I wish I had... What was it? In the Proverbs. Let's see if I can find it in my Bible. Here we go. Okay. I have the She Reads Truth Bible. And I was reading the Proverbs last night. And the very first page before the Proverbs began, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." And wow, how that could sound like such a different thing depending on the ears you have to hear it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You guys, the Bible and Jesus, they're not talking about fear as the way we think about fear, being scared of something. When we talk about fearing the Lord with our hearts, we're talking about a holy reverence. We're talking about the biggest, most beautiful amount of respect that you could possibly imagine. Reverence. Reverence. Such a deep respect. That's what it means to fear the Lord and to fear God. Goodness, man, that changed it for me. Reverence. How do you treat someone that you have full reverence, love, and the deepest respect that you could possibly contain? How do you treat that being? You trust them completely because you know their power. You trust them and you have full faith in them. And that is what it means to fear the Lord and to fear God. And how cool is that? Because I, for 33 years, thought that meant something else. And it doesn't. It means to have the most beautiful faith. The most beautiful faith in this loving creator that has got our backs no matter what. So, man, okay. I guess while we're on that path, there's another word that is, to me, it's not as heavy as I thought the words obey and fear were, but a word that comes up a lot of the times too is serve, to serve God, to serve God's will. And to me, that's very like on par with obey and being obedient. And what I was just saying, it's like really coming home to yourself, checking in and like feeling into your intuition and connecting and having that relationship with God of like, what will you have me do? Where will you have me go? To me, serving God is pretty much the same as obeying God, which is like following that call. It's getting out of our own way and being like, I am such a divine being. I was created so perfectly in God's image. And I have purpose. What is that purpose? So getting out of your own way, your own mind of like, I want to be this, I want to be that. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's beautiful to have goals and things that are fun for you and things you want to create. But like still continuing to check in as you're moving through life and doing those things and being like, God, what will you have me do next? And just making sure that you're allowing the spirit to come through you as you're being a living, breathing creator yourself as a human being. This is a heavy one too. The idea of being saved. I always thought that sounded really messed up also. What do we have to be saved from? People want to be saved by God? Jesus is going to save us from what? Salvation? What is this? And not until I understood sin, what that really means, and human beings having a sinful nature and the nature of the world that we live in, did I really understand the concept of being saved. Let's get a little bit deep here, guys. And again, whew, this is Brittany Rose, yoga teacher, new age spirituality, hippie, now talking to you about Jesus Christ and being saved and being sinful and living in a, I'm going to say it, living in a fallen world. I believe that we are not meant to die. I believe that we don't die. I believe that like deep in our hearts, most of us know that something is like really wrong here. And I am still so at the beginning of my journey, you guys, but all of this suffering in this world is not the way it's supposed to be. I mean, yes, it is. It's divine. It's happening. Of course, it's the way it's supposed to be because it is happening. But I do believe that something about our world is severely fallen and inverted and distorted. And I believe that where Jesus comes from is our true home. Yeah. Jesus comes from home. Jesus is home. And he's here to remind us that this isn't it. And he's here to save us from the distortedness, the invertedness, the pain and suffering of this world that we live in. And that brings me back to what I was saying about New Age communities and spirituality earlier and like how they're just constantly searching. I was for a long time. And I always thought it was my fault too. Like, oh, I'm dealing with seizures. I'm sick. Like, why did I create this? What did I do to attract this? And like, No. These are my circumstances. And something in my circumstances is revealing my purpose. For sure. I do believe that. And I do believe that God created me perfectly. I don't believe anymore that there's something wrong with my brain. Like, I do believe I can be healed, but I believe that I'm going through this because it's part of my purpose. And my point was that I see so many people in New Age spirituality, and frankly, a lot of people in general, I'll reiterate what I mean in a second, but like just constantly searching in circles for years, searching for meaning. And then I see other people that whatever their beliefs are, community they're in, like people that can have all kinds of successes, and they do have all sorts of successes. Maybe they're at a point in their life where they have everything that they dreamt of before, and yet they still feel unfulfilled and empty inside. Because what we're searching for and what we're really yearning for is nothing we can achieve here. What we are yearning for is our home. It's where we come from. And Jesus is here to remind us that he's home. He's waiting for us. And we're going to go home at some point. And we can go home right now if we just connect with him. And let me tell you guys, like, when I first started hearing the call of, like, Jesus is calling you, Brittany. And I'm like, what? The heck? No. Don't you know who I am? I mean, what? When I finally started to listen, it led me to tears, and it still makes me cry every day. And like, I don't cry, you guys. I do not cry. Like, I cry like 3 times a year, maybe. And I've cried like 15 times in the last 2 weeks because of Jesus Christ, my old friend, Jesus. And when I go to church and I'm surrounded by beautiful believers, loving people that are just there to remember and to connect to God and each other, and they sing gospel music together, and they praise Jesus, this perfect man, a complete mix of humanity and God. I cry those tears, you guys, that are just the kinds of tears that like completely skip your cheeks and go straight down to your hands. And it's a release that I've been waiting for years. And I just wouldn't want to end this today on one other thing, is that I've been fully seeing and experiencing in myself and others as I've leaned into Jesus and God and this. And by the way, Jesus and God is not fear me. It's not obey in that way that we used to think it was. It's love. It is a pure, all-encompassing, massive love beyond anything else that's of this world. And so the last thing that I would like to say, I guess, here is that, especially through the trials and tribulations, when you have real faith in God, not the desperate kind of faith where you're begging and pleading, although that definitely has its place because we're human, and man, we suffer, and we get desperate sometimes, and we're going to beg, we're going to plead to God, please God, help me. Please God, why is this happening? Please God, I know you can. Help me, help my loved ones, heal me. Yes, but I'm not talking about that desperate kind of faith right now. I'm saying that even when you're going through these troubles, when you believe with all your heart and soul that your creator, that God's got you, because he does. When you just remember that, when you're going through things where you can't trust other people, or you can't lean into other people, or you can't lean into anything else that's of your reality or of your world to give you that faith, and nothing makes sense around you. And it's almost laughable, but it's so painful. But you just have that relationship with Jesus, and you lean in, and you have that kind of faith that is so real and makes no sense to other people. Watch the way that things shift in your life. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. When you say, God, I believe you. I have faith in you. This might not make sense to me right now. This is crazy to me right now. But I know you've got a plan. And I feel and I will hold that faith in my heart until it reveals itself. When you hold that kind of faith, get ready. Get ready, because some beautiful, crazy stuff is going to happen in your life. And you just got to keep trusting. And in the meantime, take the best care of yourself that you can, care of yourselves that you can, of your body temple, your mind. Protect your heart. Open your heart fully to God. And believe it. And I'm not here to preach anything, please. I am so sorry if it came off that way. I am not even religious, I think. I don't know yet. Right now, who knows what's happening, because this is beyond my control. I am not talking about religion. I really am not. I'm talking about the truth of Jesus. Because when I finally opened up, I think my camera just turned off again, but when I finally opened up my heart and was like, fine, something's calling me that I can't control. What is this truth that's calling me? Oh my God, the love that I found there. The love. So I am not trying to convince anyone of anything. I'm not trying to convert anyone. That makes no sense to me. That's not who I am. I am inviting you to just go to that place, that quiet space in your heart that knows real truth. And to maybe just be like, what if Jesus is an old friend of mine? If he was, what would that feel like? What would that look like?